morning. Welcome back to Talk to the Experts. Nice to be with you on this frosty morning. Hope you're all inside keeping warm or doing whatever you can to keep warm. Coming up in our second hour, one of our favorite guests, Terry Argue from Action Business Solutions, will be here. If you operate, run, manage a small business, or any kind of business, really, you'll get a lot from Terry Argue, as we always do. She's one of Edmonton's leading consultants in how to improve your business. And at this time of year, everybody likes to take stock on how things are going, and Terry will be here to help you do that. This hour, something a little different. Over the past week, you've probably heard our promo spots talking about what to expect today. And they went something like this: as livestock producers, we understand our role in feeding the world and all the responsibilities that come with it. These responsibilities include the prudent use of antibiotics and keeping up with new regulations. Here to chat about that today for the next hour, we're going to be talking to Dr. Duane Landels. He's with the Alberta Veterinary Medical Association. Duane, welcome to the show.
Morning, Terry.
Nice to have you on board. So, for those people, for those people who haven't heard about you yet, I mean, really, you're a first-time guest, so you're kind of new to all of our listeners. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and the Alberta Veterinary Medical Association?
Well, thanks, Darrell. It's great to be here this morning. About myself, I'm a veterinarian. I practice in rural Alberta and farm practice for a number of years, and since retiring from practice, I've had an opportunity to engage with policy development in regards to animal health, both provincially, nationally, and internationally, and it's given me a kind of a keen interest in some of the issues that develop and an awareness of how what we do here in our own practices and our own agricultural operations are influenced by the international situation. So that certainly is where my interest and my involvement in the use of antimicrobials or antibiotics in livestock production has come from. And I've also had an opportunity to be part of the federal government stakeholder consultations in the proposed amendments to the regulations of how we use antimicrobials in livestock.
Now, we did mention, or as you just mentioned, there are changes in the regulations. So I think what a lot of our listeners are wondering is, A, what are the rules as they stand now? Where are they going and why? And one thing I want to mention, just if people are listening, and this is something that's, you know, really something that they're involved with firsthand, if they're a beef producer, a vet, if they're interested in this, the Alberta Veterinary Medical Association has put out a special website to address this issue, and that website is www.raisedwithcare.ca. And the site is up right now. I think it went up just recently, today possibly.
Yes, that's correct.
And it's a very well laid out site, and it really does position your, I guess, approach in a very logical manner. But we're going to discuss that on the air now. So let's talk first about how do things exist right now, and then why are we looking at a change?
Well, I think to understand where things exist and what the changes are is to have a better understanding of antimicrobial use and what antimicrobials are. And I want to clarify for your listeners, I mean, commonly we use the term antibiotic, and people are very familiar with that. And most of our communications we're using the broader term antimicrobial, which is just a wider term. All antibiotics are antimicrobials, but all antimicrobials are not antibiotics. So it's a broader term that applies to chemical products or naturally produced products that are used to control infections with bacteria, viruses, fungi, a wide range of products where antibiotics are specifically focused on treating bacteria. So that's just for clarification.
Okay.
The other probably understanding that we need to have is that antimicrobials are used in livestock production and in animal health in a number of different ways, and we of course typically use them to treat disease when an infection occurs. If we have good antibiotics, we can treat that infection. Antibiotics or antimicrobials are also used to control disease. That is, if some animals in a group of animals get sick, maybe all the animals are put on the antibiotic to keep the disease from spreading within the group. They're also used for prevention, where animals in a certain circumstance are likely to come down with the disease, although the disease might not be present. Antimicrobials can be used in that circumstance. and not uncommonly, antimicrobials have been used for production purposes, used to increase the rate of gain, help animals convert their food more efficiently, and produce protein, meat protein, in a more efficient manner. Commonly, or not uncommonly, the use of production antimicrobials is what we call subtherapeutic. It's levels of antibiotics in the feed or water that are lower than what would be used to treat diseases. And, of course, that's where part of the concern comes from. So we recognize the issue about antimicrobial resistance is what, again, the listeners have probably heard about superbugs,
right,
and the development of very serious infections in human health care that are killing people and causing, you know, thousands or millions of dollars in our health care system, and are a great risk. So every time we use an antimicrobial or an antibiotic, whether it's in human or animal, every time we use one, we encourage some development of resistance, because by their nature, antimicrobials kill the bugs that are affected, and the ones that aren't affected live. They're the ones that are resistant. So they're
possibly stronger ones.
The stronger, yeah, ones continue to survive and cause, you know, cause disease, more potential to cause disease. We're aware that, you know, humans, resistance in bacteria in human hospitals occurs because of use of drugs in the human medical side. Resistance to bacteria can occur in the animal health side by use of antibiotics in the animal health side, and there's good evidence that those resistant bacteria can move back and forth. So our use of antimicrobials in agriculture certainly can cause a risk to human health, and that's what our campaign is about, is aimed at, is how can we eliminate unnecessary use of antimicrobials in agriculture so we're not risking human health, and at the same time conserve the antibiotics or antimicrobials for the necessary treatment and maintenance of animal health and welfare.
So there's so much to talk about here, and I'm not sure exactly where to begin. But so now I think this all became painfully clear to people, that there could be a transfer, you know, from livestock to humans with the mad cow outbreak many years ago, and that did, you know, impact us on a global scale, in that people ceased taking Alberta beef for a while because of a fear of exactly that they could transfer from cattle to humans. So yeah, we have had past evidence of that. That's a possibility. So now we're looking at beef producers. Changes will be coming to them, and how will that impact them?
Well, and to be clear, it's not just beef producers, it's livestock production in its entirety. Poultry, swine,
okay,
aquaculture, beef, the wide range of productions for human consumption.
Okay.
And the biggest change
aquaculture, is that fish?
Fish, okay. Yes, fish farming, which is a major and increasing area of protein production from an animal source. So what we're anticipating by the end of this year, by the end of 2016, that the federal regulations will no longer allow the use of antimicrobials, medically important antimicrobials. There's four categories, so this is the main three that are used in human medicine, will not be allowed to have label claims that will allow them to be used for production purposes only. And in fact, I think the livestock industry and the veterinary industry supports this change, in that over the years it's come that the production uses are not as important as they were when they started to use in the early 1950s. There's improvements in animal management, in vaccination protocols and disease prevention methods through engineering of housing and good nutrition, a wide range of things that have improved animal health to a point that production antimicrobials are not all that great a benefit, and therefore eliminating their use is probably looking to say, well, that's maybe an unnecessary use, and we can get rid of that, so the regulations will see us stop doing that. So I think that's a very positive step. What it does, though, is help us all to reflect that the culture of how we use antimicrobials and antibiotics in human health and in animal health needs to change. And so we need to all be cognizant of what we do in our own sector, in our own area, to ensure that we validate when we do need antibiotics, that we're using them properly, using the right drug to treat the right bug, that we have a good diagnosis, that there's legitimate reason to do that. And if it's unnecessary, where I think in human health and animal health, we've gotten a kind of habit, well, let's just put on antibiotic just in case. Mm-hmm. I think that kind of use is going to go away. If it's a viral disease and it won't respond to antibiotic, an antibiotic shouldn't be used.
I had a question. Can you tell that I lost the question for a second? In the global environment, how does Canada stack up with everyone else?
Well, these changes in restriction of antimicrobial use in animal health and in animal production have happened around the world over a number of years, and I think it's probably safe to say that Canada is lagging behind. Although there are movements to change the regulation, I think we've fallen behind, and that's a great risk to livestock producers, recognizing that we rely on export markets for our products, for the majority of our products, and if we don't meet the same standards or the required standards of our trading partners, we certainly run the risk of losing our export markets for our products.
As it stands today, producers can use some antimicrobials at their own discretion. Is that correct?
The current circumstance for antimicrobials used in livestock feed and water following a federal directive is called MIB, Medicated Ingredients Brochure. It defines the dose and what they're used for. Those antimicrobials are used without a prescription. That's correct. A producer can determine that they're necessary for his herd or flock and go to the feed mill and have that mixed in to feed the animals. That's exactly what will be changing by the end of this year.
Right. At that point, they'll need to have a veterinarian prescribe these?
Essentially, that's correct. What we're anticipating the legislation to say is that the use of all medically important antimicrobials in food-producing animals will require veterinary oversight. So the oversight is a complex series of steps, which will ultimately get down to drafting a prescription, which defines the terms of how the drug, which drug is going to be used and how it's going to be used.
And I imagine most major producers now work pretty much hand-in-hand with a veterinarian partner as they go now?
Well, the use of veterinarians in livestock production is very common, and most of our major producers, in fact, do have an ongoing relationship. In fact, many of them have contract relationships with veterinarians that oversee the health of the animals or birds in the flock. So this, I don't believe this will cause a significant change. It's a technical change in how we get to the drugs, but to use of the drugs, but it does allow us a much better opportunity to do what's called surveillance, to measure which drugs are used, why they're being used, and record that. So on a national basis, we have a better understanding of what products are being used, and then you can tie that to where do we see resistance and is there a relationship. So lack of data makes it difficult to know the actual extent of the problem.
Yeah, no kidding. So it's not just benefiting, you know, I guess the end user and the producer, but benefits science as well to be able to have that kind of relationship and communication back and forth.
Well, benefits science and public health.
And public, yeah, absolutely. And which is obviously the long-term goal.
Ultimately, the long-term goal is to protect public health, exactly.
We're talking to Dr. Duane Landels from the Alberta Veterinary Medical Association about the Raised with Care campaign. You can find out more at on their website, raisedwithcare.ca. And if you have a question for us, by all means, we'd love to hear from you. Please send us a text at 630-630. We'll be back with more. This is Talk to the Experts.